Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and I got a special guest today. And of course, you know, I always get the best guests, but I'm bring in somebody new, and it's actually somebody I've known for quite a while, and we have a lot of mutual contacts together, but we finally got him to come on the show, and that's Christopher Hay from his Pulse Options Weekly newsletter. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, Bubba, that works.
Is that well? Give it to me right before everybody got to get it right. It's Pulse Options.
Well,
go ahead, tell me the name.
So I created the Pulse system, Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, and my publisher set up a website, pulseoptionsweekly.com, and I got to be honest with you, this might sound crazy, but I don't go to my own website. I mean, I write this newsletter. I've written it for 5.5 years. I've got students that have been with me all this time, and I got staff. They go to the website. I'm pretty sure it's pulseoptionsweekly.com, but...
All right, it's pulseoptionsweekly.com. You know, listen, we'll get there eventually. I mean, you know, hopefully you'll come back again and we'll talk. But so Chris, I guess the first thing is, what is pulseoptionsweekly.com? What do you do? What's your specialty, or are you just good at everything?
Yeah, my kids don't think I'm good at anything, so... My specialty is weekly options. You know, they came out in late June of 2010, and I, you know, got them trading heavily. And in October of 2011, I started writing a weekly newsletter, and my broker introduced a friend of both of ours. That's kind of how we know each other. He introduced me to this publisher, and the publisher said, "This is great. Can you make a video so people can understand what you're doing?" So I filmed a number of videos, and then later on he said, "Hey, can you write a book?" So I wrote a book, and so I've got a book out there, and don't ask me the name of it, but I think it's
how about the Pulse system?
the Pulse system, I know. Again, I apologize for not knowing what I do. I trade every week. I'm a very active trader, and I write this newsletter. I've written it for years. And you know, the publisher sells that, and I'm not in the business of selling stuff. I like to trade, and I like to teach trading. And so the Pulse system, Pulse is an acrostic, right? A lot of people think it's an acronym, but an acronym is just abbreviation. An acrostic is an acronym that spells something. And Pulse stands for potential. U stands for upside. L stands for low risk. S is strategy, and E is entry and exits. And so it's a memory tool to get people to pick the best stocks out there. And, you know, we look to trade short-term options typically a day or two before they expire. And we shoot to double our money on our trades. That's what we look for. If a setup doesn't have at least 100% potential, we ignore it.
All right. So now, obviously, there are some things that a trader, you know, I've been trading for 37 years. I was a floor trader for probably 25 of those 37, maybe longer, you know, because the floors had to dry up a little bit. But what are some of the things you look for as a trader? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen right in trading, you know, especially when you're trading options. I mean, I started out of the CBOE in 1980, so I get it. But explain to everybody out there, what are some of the key things you need to look for when you're trading options?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like you, albeit I wasn't on the trading floor. I started in the late 70s, and you remember the old days, right? The old days, options had strike prices every $2.50 or every $5. Now they have strike prices every 50 cents or every dollar. You know, some stocks still have them every $2.50 bucks, but they had expirations just once a month. So there's 12 expirations a year. And I think the biggest thing from the old days is they were priced in fractions, right? Remember eighths and quarters and halves and teenies, and then they went decimals to nickels and dimes, and now they're priced in pennies. And so the bid-ask spread on an option doesn't kill you, right? You remember in the old days, you were on the floor. I mean, don't take this wrong. You were a hatchet man. Any orders that came into you, you know, the bid was way below the ask, and the ask was way above the bid, and that's just what it was. But things have gotten so much better now with the really tight bid-ask spreads that a trader can, you know, one, if he changes his mind, he's not devastated. And if he does have the option run for him, he can, you know, get fairly close to fair value because the bid-ask spreads are fairly tight.
Right. I agree with that. But, you know, when we traded, when I was on the floor, the market was, if an option was $3 or more, it had to move in minimum moves of an eighth. If it was $3 or less, it could move in a 16th. And that's why I used to teach people in those days to buy it. You trade the $3 options because when you're right and they go up, they go in your favor. You make more because they go down slower. But true story, right? I mean, but now, again, so you're bringing all this up and it's all very important. And so I want to ask you something. You've heard, you know, in the business, we hear about the high frequency guys and how they've ruined the business. All right. Now, I have no idea what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask you this question and you can give me your answer. I say that the high frequency traders have never, the retail trader has never had it better because of the high frequency traders, because they force them to have very tight markets, which allows the guy to get in and out. And they force the price down and the commissions down so that you can be a much more active trader and not go broke paying commissions. What do you say?
I'm in total agreement. I mean, people ask me about it, you know, particularly people say, you know, what do you do? And if I tell them I'm a writer, oh, they get all excited, like I write romance novels or something. But if I tell them I'm a stock trader, and say, oh, what about these high frequency traders? It's like, well, no offense. Without them, the bid-ask spreads would be really, really super wide, and they actually do us a favor, and you know, as small a size as you trade, you're never going to be negatively affected by them. I don't have a problem with high-frequency traders.
That's why Michael Lewis is full of crap. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's good for football and baseball books, right?
I mean, he's good for liar's poker. I mean, but again, I want the real true story. I have no problem. You know, I'm not like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, and I can handle the truth. And I want him to just tell the truth. The truth is that without high frequency traders, if you go back, and since you go back that long, guys used to pay $100 for commission. You couldn't day trade the market. You couldn't get in and out because you'd get creamed. And that is the difference that these high frequency traders have brought. They've brought all the stuff into decimals, which killed the floor. They brought all these things down to pennies, which killed the floor, because now a guy can't make a living without wearing a computer around his neck. So there's really no room for floor traders anymore, which is why the pits are drying up, and within, you know, 6 months, I would say almost, they may all be closed, with the exception of the New York Stock Exchange, just because they like the prestige of that. But we're going to have somebody here for a break. We are with Christopher Hay, Pulse Options, and that's pulseweeklyoptions.com newsletter. Been doing this for 5.5 years, but been trading for about 40. I guess he's been trading longer than I am. He must be an old man, because I'm old. Anyways, we're going to come back after the break, but make sure before you go, you can download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm, and also the Sporting Edge on the weekends, which is now being hosted by Xander. And lastly, but not least, tomorrow I'm having a webinar at noon on Good Friday that you can learn how to hedge and come on and join me. It is no cost. Just go to bubbatrading.com and look it up and sign up for it. It'll be a live webinar in which I will be hosting, and I'll give you a lot of good ideas how to protect your capital. This is the Bubba Show, Top by Wars, with Christopher Hay. We'll be right back after the break with more from Chris. PulseWeeklyOptions.com. The Bubba Show, Top by Wars, coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Top by Wars, with Christopher Hay from Pulse weeklyoptions.com, and there's a couple other versions, but certainly he does a lot of great stuff and understands the markets and has been doing this for a long time. And so, Chris, I'm a big fan of the weekly options. I know obviously you are because you write a newsletter about it. But in your mind, what are some of the benefits that we now get from having a weekly option versus, you know, a longer dated expiration?
Well, to me, the biggest advantage we get is all the gamma. You know, the options have five Greeks. There's delta, vega, theta, gamma, and rho. And you know, everybody thinks about delta neutral or thinks about selling short-term options to collect the theta decay. But I don't know if people realize how much gamma there is in these short-term options. When an option's close to expiration, it has very little time left and therefore very little time value. And an out-of-the-money option has a lot of gamma in that if the stock moves where that out-of-the-money option goes from out-of-the-money to in-the-money, it picks up value where, you know, the option could double, triple, quadruple. Hell, there was spider options last week, SPY. They have a new Wednesday expiration, by the way, which some of these options move 20 or 30 fold in a day, right? You know, $10 became $300 in one day. And that's pretty powerful. And it's powerful on twofold. Not only does it move 30 times in price, but it's not moving from like $1,000 a contract. It's moving from $10 a contract so the little guy can afford it. And Bubba, I think this goes back to your talking about the high frequency guys. The option exchanges are trying to make sure that the members, the market makers, can make a living. And so the option exchanges are just creating more and more products. The more and more products they create, theoretically the volume gets distributed a little across the board, and that widens the bid-ask spread. So the options exchanges, they started with weekly options, and when weeklies first came out, there was just 24 stocks, and they kind of roll which stocks they have, and now there's hundreds and hundreds of stocks that have weekly options. And again, I mentioned earlier, they've got strike prices now, you know, as close as every 50 cents apart. And the options exchanges have just created these Wednesday spider options, SPY, and they've got the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday SPX options. And the thought being that if they can make dozens and dozens of choices instead of all the volume going into one or another and the market makers fighting against each other, there's an opportunity for them to have a little bit wider spread. And the exchanges did this for the professionals. Don't let them tell you otherwise. But the reality is they did us a massive favor while doing this. And again, when we have an option, like last week we had the Freeport McMoRan FCX, the $13.50 put, it moved from a dime to 24 cents. Well, years ago, you would have had strike prices at 12.5 or 15, and the 12.5 would have been, you know, the put would have been out of the money and not move, and the 15 would have cost at least $1.50 worth of intrinsic value, so it would have been too expensive, and the leverage wouldn't be there. But because they've created all these little strike prices in between, and because they've created all these expirations, there's just tons and tons of opportunities. And again, like you said, if it wasn't for these high frequency guys that in some sense probably deserve a little bit of the bad press that they get, but certainly not all the bad press, and us little guys should be very thankful for them.
Well, I don't think I think they deserve no bad press, because even if they're scamming a little bit, which I don't believe that they are, we would not have the markets we have without them. So you wouldn't have, you know, $15 a trade or $7.95 or whatever you're paying for commission. You'd be paying a lot more, because again, these firms would not be doing it if you didn't have somebody providing that liquidity. And especially when they basically eliminated market makers with the way they've done things, you wouldn't have the kind of liquidity. So again, I'm a big fan, you know, and certainly, you know, especially since they changed one of the laws, which is how they can bid offer those things. They still do it, but not as bad. because you get fined when you get caught. But at the end of the day, you know, the markets move and they're extremely efficient. And of course, you know, I find that, you know, the markets in recent times have lacked a lot of volatility, which has made trading a little bit tougher. What are your thoughts of that?
Well, again, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And I find myself, I'm trading more the option pricing formula than I am trading the underlying stocks and whatnot. You know, one of my core strategies is a non-directional trade, right? I look for strangles like Thursday afternoon. And in the old days, again, you know, at strike prices every $5, well, the stock had to move a ton. But now if I find a strangle on a stock that's got a strike prices every half dollar, you know, if the stock moves a dollar one way or the other, one of my options that was out of the money is now in the money by a half a buck. And if that option cost me 20 cents, I've doubled my money. And so, you know, I'm focusing more on math than stock, and math never changes. So it's I'm an old guy. I've been doing this a long time, and this is just refreshing for me to have all the opportunities we have now.
Yeah, the math never changes. I mean, that's you know, it's the old story, right? Numbers never lie; only the people that report them do. So, yeah, you know, it's like the government reports, right? I mean, you know, they decide to interpret them how they want to make them look better for whatever reason, right?
Yeah, or in the case of M3, we don't report them anymore, right?
Well, you know, that's a shame. And, you know, of course, the markets with the trading. Now, let me ask you a question. So we have weeklies and some we have bi-weeklies now. What would be twice a week? Whatever. We have twice a week. Some are three times a week. When do you think we start extending the trading period from the normal trading day? Is that going to ever happen in options, in your opinion?
In my opinion, no. Let me rephrase that. My opinion right now is no. If anything, the exchanges, you know, the exchanges are pretty much owned by the members, and they're looking to give their members an opportunity to make money, and they're creating new products, and they try new products, and sometimes these new products fail, right? Mini options, they don't exist anymore, and but the weeklies are such a huge success. The volume in the weekly options are pretty unbelievable. So much so that, you know, I don't know the last time I bought a LEAPS option. I mean, it's just, and 7-8 years ago, that was the way to trade for me. It was a stock substitute to buy a LEAP option and sell monthly options against it. Sort of like a covered call where you don't type as much money, but these weekly options, they don't cost anything. They just don't cost anything as a general rule, and, you know, lots and lots of upside.
No, I understand. I'm with you. I mean, you know, again, I trade weeklies all the time. I mean, I use, you know, weeklies. You know, I probably trade, I don't know, a couple thousand a week. You know, so I mean, you know, I'll trade them. Listen, I do some of the things you talk about. I trade them. You know, I'll buy some stuff at 5 minutes to three on a Friday. All right. You know, I mean, that was my big trade when I was on the floor. So, I mean, I understand, you know, what you're talking about. And I want to make sure that, you know, all the listeners understand, because, you know, obviously I cover a lot of options. I mean, I trade everything now because, you know, once I left the floor, I mean, I traded in the S&P pit. I traded grains. I traded cattle. I traded the weather. I mean, you know, again, I've traded every product, futures, and I've traded overseas as well. So, you know, again, we just want to make sure that they understand what you're going through, because, you know, the information you're giving me is extremely valuable to the average guy in the street. And this is Chris Verhey from, we haven't decided the name of his company yet, but it's PulseOptionsWeekly.com or PulseOptionsWeeklyNewsletter.com. In the meantime, you look up Chris Verhey and you'll find him, and he'll give you his email and everything later in the next segment. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Chris Verhey, and of course, he's given us some great information about weekly options. We're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, don't forget tomorrow, Good Friday, we're going to have a webinar on hedging your portfolio. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Ars. We'll be right back with Chris after the break.
Fly me to the moon. Let me.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Chris Verhey. And, of course, Chris is from, we'll give you your choices, PulseOptions.com, PulseOptionsWeekly.com. But look him up. You can actually, if you spell his last name, you would just use Victor, V-E-R, Victor Echo Romeo, H-A-E, Hotel Alpha Echo, Golf Hotel, G-H. And then you for sure can find him. But, obviously, a lot of good stuff. All right, so, you know, we were talking at the break, Chris. You were telling me about an Apple trade you made on Tuesday. What'd you do, man?
So, thanks, Bubba. Again, going back to the old days, we used to have strike prices every $5 on a stock, you know, that was roughly $150. So you'd have strike prices like $140, $145, and now Apple's got strike prices every dollar. So on Tuesday, April 11th, Apple opened at just under $143. And the $142 put was out of the money, and the $141 put was out of the money, and the $140 put was way out of the money. But Apple moved down, and it did not break below 140, but going from, you know, 143 to low 140s, the 141 put and the 142 put both moved from out of the money to in the money. The 141 put opened at 17 cents. Made a low of 13 cents and then made a high of $1.44. The 142 put opened at 30 cents, made a low of a quarter, and then made a high of $2.14. This is like 8 to 10 times in price on a Tuesday when there's not as much leverage as end of the week. So, I mean, Apple moved $1.50, and these options moved $1.50 as well, but they started right around a quarter. That's what the Pulse Options is about. And Bob, I think, again, I don't try and sell anything. My publisher, he wants people to look at my newsletter. It's pulseoptions.com. That's the easy one. P-U-L-S-E, options.com, pulseoptions.com. They go there. And later on, you know, I can give a toll free number if that's.
You can give it right now.
Okay. So, well, Bubba, thank you. It's 888, right? Everybody, that's not 800. That's 888-233-1431. And the gals at the office, they can help anybody with anything, let you know exactly what I do and what I'm about. But my specialty is short term options. And we look for crazily big gains. That's the bottom line. And these gains did not exist, you know, 5, 10 years or 10 years ago. I've been doing this a long time. I've got to add an extra 5 years to everything I say. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're getting old. That's what you're talking about. I get that. You know, I mean, you know, traders get old fast. It's just the kind of the nature of the business. So, what's your thought of the whole environment right now, the economic environment? You know, do you look at that stuff at all? Does that come into any of your decision making when you're trading?
Yeah, everybody, you want to have your pulse on the market, not to get a pun on my company Pulse Options, but if you can have a bias, right? So I just gave an example, this Apple put going way down. And my core strategy is to, core, there's another pun on Apple, huh? Bubby, you make all your guests really funny. I appreciate it. Thank you. I got to get my kids here to appreciate it. Anyway, my core strategy is to buy a non-directional, to buy a call and a put, not knowing what direction the stock will move, but knowing that when I get a big move, my option is going to gain more. My winning side, right, the Apple put side, is going to make far more than the Apple call side would lose. And so if a guy can get a bias, if a guy would say, hey, look, Apple's going down for this and this reason, and they buy simply that put, hey, now they can make the end 8 to 10 times their money. But if a guy doesn't have a direction in mind and he buys the call and the put, right, you buy a call for a quarter, you buy a put for a quarter, you got the pair for 50 cents, and then you sell, you know, one of them for a buck or a buck and a half. Now you doubled or tripled, and you don't have to pick the direction. You just got to find stocks that move enough, and the option exchanges have given us dozens and dozens of opportunities each and every week, and that's kind of what I write about.
Well, yeah, that's great. And how do you get your pulse on it? How do you get your fingers on the pulse, young man?
Well, I don't know if you're like me. I'm unfortunately sitting in front of a monitor all day, kind of watching my positions, and I've got multiple monitors, and so I watch the news and you know, see stuff and kind of read between the lines. I mean, the big thing. The Fed, they keep, you know, they have the QE program where they bought, what was it, $85 billion a month? That's a lot of money. I don't know, between friends here, that's a lot of money, $85 billion a month. And then when the securities matured, they'd reinvest it. Well, at some point in time, you know, they got to clear their books. And I think the first thing to do is not buy more, right? And that's what they came out at the FOMC meeting minutes here a week or so ago, and that's what caused the market to sell off in the last couple hours of the day. Well, that was a Wednesday, and the options exchanges have created these new Wednesday expiration spy options, so you literally had options that went from, you know, 2 cents to 60 cents. You know, that's 30 times in price.
That's a nice trade.
Yes.
I hope you had it on a couple thousand times.
Well, that's, you know, the nice thing, though, when you think about it, if you find an option that's a dime, it's only $10 a contract. So, you know, I trade fairly big size. I mean, partly I've been doing this a while. I've got that comfort level. But a newer trader, you know, when an option's only at 10 cents, they can buy a couple of contracts. And if they're wrong, hey, they just don't go out for dinner that week. But if they're right, you know, put a down payment on a new boat or something.
Oh, no, I look at it. I understand it. I'm with you 100%. You know, that's, you know, something that we don't, you know, talk enough about is that, you know, there are opportunities if you are, you know, paying attention and if you're doing the right thing, you know, you'll find yourself with more opportunities. And I think that's something that, you know, that we often forget is that there's many opportunities out there. It depends on how you, the individual, play them. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, I think that maybe sometimes lacks in America anymore is people taking personal responsibility, you know, and, you know, the disclaimer is that results may vary, but I really think the beauty of weekly options, you think about this, I remember, you know, guys years ago saying, hey, buy this stock. It's going to be the next Microsoft. Buy this stock. It's not going to be the next Apple or Amazon. And they say within 3 years, it's going to go up. Well, how can you see if the guy's any good if you got to wait 3 years for him to be right? And the beauty of weeklies is that people can paper trade and you'll know within a few days whether it was a good move to make. And then you can practice. You can get a lot of practice in without risking money. And then you can start nibbling when these options are 10 cents, right? Doesn't take much to go from paper trading to risking real money. And then when you get good, you go from there.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I'm on your side, brother. I mean, now, do you use any do you use any other types of strategies while you're trading on these weeklies? What's your any special game plan on those? Or you ever get really directional or anything?
Well, sure, you know, and Bob, I think it's maybe it's not my results that matter. It's maybe the results of my students. So if you allow me, let me just quote an email I got from a student last week. And he said, Wednesday morning, April 5th, I bought 10 contracts on AMD for a nickel for a total of $56.95. Right, with a nickel a contract, 100 shares per contract, that's $5 a contract times 10 contracts. That's $50. My math tells me he paid $6.95 in commission, which is so cheap compared to when we started. His email continues. He sold Thursday morning at $1.03. Right, he bought the AMD 14 put for a nickel, sold them the next day at $1.03. He brought in $1,023.01 after commission, which was $6.95, and then the 4 cents for the Securities and Exchange Commission. He turned $56 into $1,000 in one day. And that was a real trade, but that student went on. He's been a student of mine for a number of years, and he's been paper trading and you know, working his way trying to get for some success, but his losses were $50 here, $20 there, $40 there, and then boom, you know, it's like it's drilling oil wells and you finally hit the gusher.
You get paid, and this is Christopher Hay telling you how to get paid. This is the Bubba Show Top Hours, and of course, we've decided that it's going to be pulseoptions.com for today because there's so many different names he's got, but they're all the same thing. And of course, you can see that Chris has got his pulse on the market, and we're going to step by over break, but make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend, which is now being hosted by Xander. And of course, I want to remind you that tomorrow, Good Friday, I'm hosting a webinar on how to hedge your portfolio and lock it up so you don't have to worry about the impending market correction that may be coming. This is the Bubba Show Top of Boards. We'll be right back after with more from Chris. The Bubba Show Top of Boards coming right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Christopher Hay, who is the author of the Pulse Options Weekly Newsletter, and his website is pulseoptions.com. In the meantime, Chris, we've got, you know, markets that kind of are wishy-washy, and the last, I don't know, it's about the last 10 days or so, or at least the last 7 trading days for sure, that we've seen a market move back and forth and end up near the unchanged. In fact, last week, we had every day had a minimum move of 160 points intraday and ended up the week within 5 or 10 points of unchanged for the week. In the meantime, the VIX is climbing a little bit. What's your take of that kind of action?
That's my favorite action, Bubba. I love it because I trade short-term options and understand the option pricing formula. Right, and remember, these guys won the Nobel Prize for economics for coming up with this formula. But what they really did is figure out how much an option should move from one day to the next based on what the stock moves from one day to the next. And when we get a spike up that reverses or a move down that reverses and ends up, you know, closing at roughly the same price it opened at, their pricing model works because they're figuring out the decay from one day to the next. And my system works because if I can buy an option, you know, for 20 cents and hang a good till cancel order at 50 cents and have the option spike my direction, me get filled at 50 and then go back where that option closes at 18, it's like I was a burglar, you know. I got away with something, but I didn't cheat anybody. That's what the option was worth at that point in time. And at the end of the day, you know, there's a little bit of decay on it and, you know, we're all good. So, you know, a lot of my trades are the same day. You know, I like to buy near the morning and hope to get all that movement, you know, spike up or spike down before the day's over. And my other favorite strategy is to buy, you know, near Thursday's close and hope for a gap on Friday or something. And I like to buy it out of the money option that moves in the money. And I know that can be controversial, particularly for old guys. But back in the days, out of the money options were bad deals. Again, partly because the strike prices were so far apart and the bid ask spreads were so far apart. And you know, a lot of old guys have a hard time accepting the fact. But I think if they do the math, and the math does not lie, you'll see that I'm onto something.
Well, I think one of the things that we all have to remember now is that, of course, the efficiency in the markets has become much better as well. You know, the narrower the strikes they now have, the more efficient traders have become, because obviously it went from, you know, I go back to the day, Chris, on the floor where we actually all waited for the money supply to come out on Thursday afternoon. And, you know, we had one little 12-inch computer monitor with 50 traders staring at it, climbing over each other to see what the number was going to be. You know, everybody didn't have a computer in their pocket back then. Okay. So, you know, I was in, you know, floor traders, we had one computer, had 50 traders in that building. All right. And I traded in the OEX pit was where I ended up at, which was the biggest pit in the world. Of course, I was one of the first traders that actually built the SPX pit. So I get all that stuff we're going through. And it makes a whole big difference as to understanding it and where we've come from. And of course, you know, obviously the premiums back in those days, I mean, we had an average implied vol of over 20, probably in those days, probably 30%. So obviously that did a lot to the option and the understanding of the option model, which I think is one of the things you kind of help people understand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you made me think of the old days. When I started as a mail clerk in an investment firm, and we had a Western Union telegraph line, and we had a ticker tape machine, which, by the way, those things are really noisy. And so I was so happy when we got rid of it, and we got one computer monitor. It was a black screen with green numbers and letters, and everybody in the firm went to look at the one screen. I mean, you were on the floor. We you know, we had an office, and so, yeah, I remember those days, and I'm just telling you, it's gotten so much better. I remember my first stock trade was $133 commission going in, and it was a long-term trade for me. I think by the time I got out, commissions were down to $40. So, we have it good now. We have it good.
You could never have it better than you have it right now. I mean, that much I will definitely confirm that there is no better time to be involved in the markets than this now, because again, you have the best advantage. And of course, you know, as a floor trader, you know, we were more concerned about trying to clip the edge, making markets. So, I mean, that was, you know, market makers made markets, which we provided liquidity, which is what the high frequency traders do now. But we were, you know, we weren't not necessarily, you know, running one looking for, you know, a big move. We were like trying to clip off the eighth of the quarter or the 16th, depending on the size of the option. And of course, now you're putting up strategies of the weekly options where you can buy a strangle, you know, 50 cents wide or a dollar wide and let it fire for, you know, for very little money, right?
Yeah, you know, the saying is you used to pick up nickels in front of bulldozers, and now to me it's like we stick a nickel in a bulldozer and get to drive. So,
yeah, no, I mean it makes a lot of sense, and you know, for the average, you know, newbie or whatever, or someone who's never traded in the weeklies, what are some of the things you might recommend to them to do?
Well, my first recommendation would be to, you know, paper trade. Don't risk real money. Again, the real beauty is you can look at Apple options every week. You know, focus on Thursday and Friday, the change there. You can look at Amazon options. Amazon options get expensive. You know, they could be a couple bucks, a couple hundred dollars a contract. So maybe, you know, or probably the best is SPYDER, SPY. You know, look at some of the SPY options on expiration, because they have a Wednesday expiration. See what the Wednesday options do. You'll get a feel for it. You can see that there are options that will move 500 to 800% week in and week out. And it's like a treadmill. It's constantly going. And then you grab a hold, get your feet moving, and then jump on.
Hey, you know, listen, I have no problem with it. Listen, one of my biggest trades back in the day was to, as I told you, we'd fire up with a big number of options that were basically worthless. And of course, they didn't turn out to be worthless. And that's kind of what you're looking for. You're looking for that move, and you're looking for that little bit of movement. And you can actually obviously take a 10 cent option to 50 cents. And that's quite a percentage move. And I think that's good. Now, do you do anything longer than a week, or do you use any weeklies against longer term options, or you don't do that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I have a particular trade on VXX, the volatility ETN that I buy when VXX moves high, I'll buy a longer term VXX put option, and I'll typically buy slightly in the money, so I can be tying up some money. But I've successfully traded that trade, I think, 66 out of the last 67 times on that particular setup. So there are longer term setups for me, but I tend to focus on the shorter stuff 1 or 2 weeks out. And again, you know, I wrote a book on this, and I've filmed a bunch of videos, and then I've been writing this newsletter for 5.5 years, and I have. Yeah, my publisher tells me I have the highest retention rate of any of his authors, so I got to be doing something good. And if it means anything, you're interviewing me, and that you don't interview just everybody. You know, that's true. It's an honor, Bubba. It's an honor to be interviewed by you. I appreciate you, and thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on, and unfortunately, we have to have you back again because we are at the end of this. Chris, thanks so much for being on.
Bubba, I appreciate you. God bless you. And we'll get together here soon.
We'll do it again. And this is Christopher Hay from PulseOptions.com, Pulse Weekly Options. Make sure you check him out. If you have any problems trying to get a hold of him, just go ahead and email me direct. In the meantime, we'll see you back here tomorrow on Good Friday. And make sure that you check out my webinar at noon so that you can be more prepared to protect your portfolio. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Ortega. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. If you're not here tomorrow, then have a great, blessed Good Friday and a happy Easter, happy Passover. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. If not, we'll see you on Monday. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you. Goodbye.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.